One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
I want to call your attention once again to the theme of the entire ministry of all the enterprises, and that is the Word. This has been the generation of newspapers, television, magazines, and we've let everything on earth come in. Fact is, this book lost so completely out that they even voted it out of the public school system. Now what do you have? You have pandemonium reigning in every school. I didn't make that up. The teachers tell me and the principals tell me. That's all they've ever done. They've been in the school all of their life. When they got out of college, they went into the great school systems of this country. And they said to me, when they brought their girls in, and I talked to one of the little girls, and she came in as a total rebel. I mean, she faced her daddy and said, "Why did you lie to me, bringing me to a place like this? And didn't tell me where you..." But very sweetly, after 2 weeks or three maybe, she said, "I'm sorry for the way I acted in your office." Tears were in her eyes. The rebellion, the bitterness had melted. Listen, it's worth it all. She was blind. She'd been with the wrong communications. And her mind had been twisted up. Even though she had a case against the parents, when she said, "You like your liquor, I like my dope." I don't see any difference. And I'd go strong enough to say, a mother and a daddy that smoke cigarettes, don't cuss your kids for smoking pot, marijuana, anything else. Just go ahead. You can sit there and squirm all you want to, but I'll guarantee you all of it's a form of dope. And I tell you what I can do. I can take up the rest of the preaching hour if I turn the girls loose on telling you where they started on their dope. It'll be in the medicine cabinet of the average home. You've got enough dope, a lot of you folks are caught. That's the reason we'll allow none of it. I want no aspirin tablet on this farm. Not one. That's a form of dope. Did you know that? You ask the dope addicts. I've had them in here that take them by the bottles full. I don't care how much they advertise them, whether they call them Bayer or whatever they are. Brother, as far as I'm concerned, they can just throw them in the bay. I found something that works. And it's this book right here. We've completely ignored the Word of God in this generation. We've lost our children. And we're not going to get them back till we go back to the Word of God. It's going to be a drastic return. Now then, turn to the book of Hosea for just a moment. The book of Hosea. What did I say? Josiah? Hosea. The book of Hosea. He said, "You know, I have written," verse 12 of the 8th chapter, "I've written to him the great things of my law." That's 8 and verse 12. Mark it. "I've written to him the great things of my law. But they were counted as a strange thing." Bible's a strange book, isn't it? You know why? You're a stranger to it. You know why the Bible's a strange book? People have not met its author. You know why the Bible's a strange book? People don't want to live it and practice it. Strange, isn't it? I guarantee it'll make a peculiar person, but I'll promise you this, it's your life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Where does the life come from? It comes from the Lord Jesus and comes from His Word. Would you turn to the book of Deuteronomy, please, chapter 32. Deuteronomy, back in the Old Testament. Mothers and dads, heed these two verses for the sake of your children. Chapter 32, verse 46. And He said unto them, set your hearts. Set your hearts. What did He say set your hearts to? Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do. All the words of this law. You know what the father ought to be in the home? The commander-in-chief. The father's to be the commander. I got a friend over here at the naval base, and he commands people. That's what he does. That's when they call him commander. Now, daddies, God made you the commander of your home. And notice what you're supposed to command. You're to command them to get in the book. That's what he's saying right here. And he's going to give us the reason in a minute. Through this thing, notice, verse 47, for it's not a vain thing. Talking about the word. It's not a vain thing for you, because it's your life. It's your life. And through this thing, you shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Wonder if there's any mothers and dads killing their children and don't know it. Maybe you're not using a shotgun, but maybe you're neglecting the one thing that extends the children's lives. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents and notice their position in the Lord. For this is right. This is right. Now, you're not going to ever hear Brother Olof saying to a bunch of little girls in her home, now listen, girls, I want you to know you have some rights of your own, and you can't be tied to your mother's and dad's apron strings, and after all, they're a little older, and they don't know really how to understand you. No, you're not going to get me to talk like that. I tell you, I believe that girls and boys need to be under the jurisdiction of older people until they become mature. Until they get up into a rather ripe age where they can think and decide and are right with the Lord. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now then, what's your promise? That it may be well with thee. Would you like for it to be well with you? Would you like for everything to go well with you? Well, he said, honor your father and mother. That's the first commandment with a promise. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You know why we got so many teenage suicides? They dishonored their dads and mothers. You know why they dishonored their dads and mothers? A lot of them dishonored God. Mothers and dads, if you want to be honored, be honorable. You'd say, how can you be honorable? Put your faith in Jesus Christ and let Him give you some character and authority from Him. You get that only through the Word of God. I'm sick of my generation. I'm just so sick of it. I live a nauseated life because of what I hear every day. The calls at Canaan and night lights. I mean drunkards, young women that are drunkards and dope addicts, and how two girls are living in a dope ring, and they're under. I mean, they're completely destroyed unless God rescues them. And they ask me if I could come and try to... The dad's already tried to rescue him. He couldn't. The police got him instead of his daughter. They got him, took him down to the jailhouse, and left her in the den of iniquity. And she laughed at her dad and said, they got my dad, they got the old man. This is an insane generation. And here's the thing that's sad. The State Department is siding in with the children instead of the parents. As far as I'm concerned, they haven't got one brain cell working. Siding in with the little 13 or 14-year-old girl. Well, I tell you what I'd do. I'd tell her to go right home. If she didn't, I'd take her home. Oh, listen, we need some radical changes, but when we boil it all down, I'm going to have to say what I said to some friends. The trouble started right in the pulpits of our land. Our preachers decided they could entertain the people, cut corners, have some shortcuts, and could set up some recreational centers and build some pool halls in the recreational building, you know. And they could just kind of have a deal like that. Brother, that's not going to help. That's not going to work. It hasn't worked. It never will work. Now then, I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of 1 John. 1 John, this is the thing that inspired the message. What did God write? What are you writing today? 1 John, chapter 2, my little children. These things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. It's wonderful to have an advocate, have a lawyer. There's a little girl in our home. We've seen her hauled out many a time, haven't we? With flashbacks. That little girl came in here and was in the most serious condition. Now then, God has set her free, delivered her, gave her a burden for her family. She's got her sister here. Her brother's in jail this morning. Down that wicked road of sin. But she's been praying. I mean, she's been praying. And I called the probation officer. And he said, Brother Olaf, I believe I can get him for you. And I tell you, I told that I got in touch, and her mother and dad already told her there wasn't any hope. Couldn't be done. And the sheriff said it couldn't be done. And I told her, and she really had a flashback. Yes, sir. Fact is, she had to flash forward. She just wept and rejoiced, and that'll be a happy... And then there's another boy in jail, and said, I wonder if you could take him, too. See, everywhere you go, there's just trouble, trouble, trouble. Daddy called me from California, preacher, missionary. His daughter's locked up in the jailhouse close to Fort Smith, Arkansas. And another little girl she took off with her. And he was scared to ask me if we could take her. He just thought, well, if you just take mine. And I said, what are you going to do about the other little girl? He said, I don't know. Her mother and daddy are here. I don't know them, but I can get in touch with them. I mean, it's everywhere. Mothers and dads, we've had a complete cratering of the home. And I know that Christ is the answer. And we've got to go back to something real drastic. Now notice, it's all going to come through what he wrote. These things write unto you that you sin not. All right, look at the first chapter of 1 John. Verse 4, 1-4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And here you little girls and boys and men and women, you've been running your legs off in sin trying to have fullness of joy. And he said, these things write unto you that your joy may be full. You get, listen, this is the joy book. The Bible is the joy book. Now, it fools you at first because you're blind. And you said, if I lived by the Bible, I'd be miserable. If I lived under the rules and regulations of the home, I got news for you. The rules and regulations of the home are just plain Bible teaching. All we're doing is trying to be normal. Just be normal. We're just trying to live normal Christian lives. I don't believe a Christian, if he's really a born-again Christian, would ever flinch from any of the rules and regulations of the enterprises. I've had these clothes on for years that I've asked you to go by. And let me say in the next breath, I never have lived a perfect life. But I tell you one thing, I'm heading in that direction. I'm heading. And the Bible said one of these days, he's going to present me before the presence of his glory, faultless. Without spot or without blemish. One of these days. Now that's his business, not mine. But I'm to cooperate with him. And I'm to read the Word of God. But I'll tell you one thing, a drastic change come into my life when I begin to take the Bible seriously. When I begin to read the Word of God, I tell you, my convictions begin to come. And the old long hair of sin, and I mean the old long habits of sin, it just begin to slough off like you're feeding an old calf, you know, in the springtime. There's two ways you get the hair off of him. He goes through the winter, he has a hard winter. But Mother Nature grows some hair on him to kind of keep him warm. But he looks awful slim and poor and his old ribs sticking out. Now, you can beat that hair off of him, or you can feed it off of him. Amen? I think we need to feed it off of more of them. And while I'm here, let me say this. Though we exercise physical discipline in our home, that's our privilege, and we're going to continue to do it. But let me say to my leaders, and I'm saying to myself because I've administered a good deal of it with some of the boys, I want you to whip our girls as little as you can. But when they need it, I leave it up to you, and I'll stand with you every time. And my prediction is that no matter how many spankings and how many whippings our girls have gotten, my prediction is there's a lot of girls in this home that didn't get whipped when they ought to be in. But girls, let me say this while we're talking about it. If you just live a good, sweet, decent life and be an obedient girl, I'll promise you one thing. There'll never be a belt touch you. We never whip girls for being good. Why, we haven't got brutes in this home. We love you. And sometimes if we just can't preach Christ into you, we just try to whip a little of the devil out of you. And that's the way my daddy did me. But I tell you one thing. When I looked in his face the last time, before he was laid by the side of my mother out in a little cemetery at Dawson, Texas, I had nothing but respect for my dad. I forgot all the whippings that I ever got. Knowing that after a while it yielded the peaceable fruits of righteousness to them that were exercised thereby. And I'd say this, and very few complaints have I ever gotten from one of the girls. Very few, and I'm glad you don't complain to me because I don't run the home. I just pray for it, preach to it. And I whip you mostly from the pulpit. I whip you with my tongue, and I trust that it's the Word of God. But if you would just begin to obey Christ, you would never, never be invited to the office for chastising or whipping. Never would. God's people ought to be a good people, an obedient people. Now then, let's continue. I want you to turn with me, please, to chapter 2, chapter 5, verse 13. I wonder why the Bible was written. Why do we have a Bible, anyhow? Chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, if the Bible was written that you might know that you're saved, and you don't read the Bible, how can you know it? How can you ever have assurance that you're saved unless it's from the Word of God? I do not go by my feelings. Somebody said, well, I feel saved. Well, that's good. I believe that's a product, a byproduct of salvation. But, dear friends, your salvation doesn't depend on your feelings. I tell you something else. My salvation doesn't depend upon whether I'm a member of a church or not either. It does not depend upon the Lord's Supper, baptism, or my good works. My salvation depends wholly and solely on the Word of God and whether I've done what He told me to do or not. I know that I'm saved. The Word of God said that I'm saved. Turn to John chapter 20. That's the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. Chapter 20. He said, these are written. These are written. And isn't that what Jesus said when he was tempted of the devil? It's written. It's written. It's written. I'm trying to get something into your heart today, and that is, you'll never be able to have victory over the devil and have assurance of salvation unless you come to what it is written in the Word of God. Mothers and dads, you spend too much time in your newspaper. You spend too much time with magazines. We got magazine racks and everything else. We need a Bible rack. We need the Bible in our heart and in our hand if we're going to have victory. Verse 31, chapter 20. But these are written. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Yes, that's the theme of the entire Bible. Bible was written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, beginning at Genesis chapter 1 and winding up in Revelation. John chapter 10, I want to show you what happens when we preach the Word of God. John 10, last two verses, 41, 42. What is gospel preaching? What is good preaching? Is it a speech? Is it moralizing? Is it diagnosing the case? Or is it getting people saved? What is the result of gospel preaching? Verse 41, many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. Everything he said about Jesus were true. Now what happened after that? And many believed on him. Where? Right there. That's good preaching, wasn't it? You know what I believe ought to be the end result of preaching? It ought to be getting everybody saved. And I'll just tell you right now, and I'll put my ministry right on the line. If you can come hear me preach week after week and month after month and never get saved, there's something wrong with my preaching. I don't blame you. If you can sit out there and your heart's so hard and you're so disobedient and so blind, and my preaching is so weak that it'll not convict you of your sin and make you realize you're lost and hellbound, there's something wrong with this preacher and his preaching. And I think the preachers ought to just go ahead and shell down the corn and admit we're to blame. You let a preacher get up there and preach day after day. I made a statement of many years ago, and it's in the form of a dare. I dare any sinner on the face of this earth, I don't care who he is, I mean any infidel, atheist, I mean Madeline Murray O'Hare, I mean, it wouldn't make a difference to me. I dare her to come here and live right in this space for 7 days. Sit in this church every time we have service, see all the girls, let them sing, and speak without getting saved before she's been here a week. And I'd like to invite her for just such an experience. And we'd be as kind to her and as nice to her, and I believe we'd get rid of that atheism. Why? She could see with her eyes the products of grace right here in this building. And I don't believe a church is a New Testament church that doesn't get people saved. I wouldn't turn around. I wouldn't walk across the street, and I wouldn't give a dime to a church that's not winning souls. You people sit out and watch these dead morgues and put your money into it, you'll give an account to God one of these days for that. And I want to say to my radio friends and all the people in this building today, anytime we stop winning souls and getting people redeemed by the grace of God, you ought to cut your support off immediately. You mothers and dads that come here, listen to me a minute. When you come to this home and you see no fruits of evangelism, you see no changed lives, you see no workers connected to enterprises living for Christ, and you see a bunch of rebels around here and a bunch of workers that are complaining and criticizing and pointing the minds of the people, let me tell you something, there's something wrong. But when you come in here and see people that are saved and living right and giving their lives on the mission field, I think it's worth of everything you can give it. Miss Roloff and I have a little girl, two of them. One of them called us, and it was a wonderful call, tremendous call. She said, Daddy. And I said, Yes. I miss Mother. And I said, Yes, he's here. So Mother beat it to the phone, one of the other phones, and we started talking. She said, Daddy, you know, I've been praying about $1,000 to give in the next few weeks. Said, Daddy, you know that $1,000 you gave on that little plane he bought? I said, Yes. She said, He sold the plane. And we feel like we ought to send $1,000 back to you. I said, I like that. I said, I know where I'm going to put it. There's your $1,000. If you really had a child that was dying with cancer, you could raise $1,000 to get an operation. And you know it. Yet all of our little girls are dying with something worse than cancer. That's sin. Eaten up with sin. Dope! Minds have been ravaged and little old bodies emaciated. I believe it's time to get a burden about the living and not just the dying physic.
We're glad you've joined us today for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The title of the message is Our Theme is the Word. Now, if you'd like to receive this message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO3458 3458. It is important that we cover shipping and handling, so we ask for a gift of at least $10, and we would like to have today's date and the call letters to the radio stations you're now listening to. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. and use your credit card. Call toll-free 1-800-772-7507. May is the anniversary of the Family Altar Program, and also we entitle it Letter Month. It's also the month that Brother Rolf really founded the ministry right here. We'd love to hear your comments from some of you about the ministries of the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises in the past, and the Family Altar Program, of course. Some of the listeners that have written us, one here is from Dallas, Texas, said, "Friends, we pray the ministry will be prosperous with souls for Jesus. This ministry has meant so much to our family. God bless and keep up with the good work. We love you." And we love that message also, my friend. Here's another message coming from North Carolina, Lake Toxaway. That's a beautiful title. "I love your preaching and what you all stand for. My gift is not much, but I hope it helps keep the faith and stands for Jesus. I pray for the ministry of Jesus Christ through Brother Roloff's life. God bless you all." And we thank you for that letter, and we would love to hear from many of you. There's others out there, hundreds and perhaps thousands that are listening, have been listening for years, and maybe you've never written. And this is the chance to not only encourage us, but help us even financially during this particular time when the financial situation of the country is just a little bit questionable. But our message this month is entitled Faith, the Second Greatest Gift. This is our special offer for May. Now, it's available for $10, and Brother Roloff answers questions such as, what does faith have to offer, and where can I get faith? How do I use it? Well, our toll-free order line is 1-800-772-7507, or you may write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And we do accept credit cards. That toll-free number again is 1-800-772-7507. Now remember again, this is Letter Month. And as a vote for your station to keep us on the air in your area, we must hear from you today. So sit down while you're thinking about it right now and write to the Family Altar Program at Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Now, this is Gene Price speaking for the staff here today, wishing you all a wonderful day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by Blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea.